This will be much shorter because it's just little robot kids.
I am, because it's rescue bots.
Yeah.
Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust? I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And I'm talking like this because today we're talking about the Bat.
The Bat.
Oh, the
Bat. Batman.
Yes. Never rub another man's rhubarb.
I haven't seen that first movie in so long.
Ooh, it holds up. I mean, I
forget every Jack Palance line.
I mean, you do notice that Michael Keaton can't turn his head when he's in that costume, but still.
I hadn't seen the second movie in a very long time, and I had forgotten what a sex pest penguin is and how much he could have just not been that, and everything would have been better.
I mean, the problem with that, pretty much all problems in that movie are caused by the characters being entirely too horny.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And given it, I did see it, I saw it in the theater when I was like 13, so...
I mean, that's appropriate.
Yeah.
I definitely saw it when I was, like, 7 or something, which may be less appropriate.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I also had to go see it with my mother, because she was my ride.
I suppose. Mm. Yeah, this, you know, Catwoman is too horny for Batman. Batman is too horny for Catwoman. The Penguin is too horny for everything.
Yeah.
Even Christopher Walken's kind of horny in that movie, which is upsetting.
Yeah.
Just, it needed to dial things back, like, a lot. Anyway, bats.
Yes. And where is the bat? This episode is Medics Steps Up to the Bat, which is not about baseball.
It is not. It's not even about, I mean, it kind of involves Cube a little bit, but it's not about Cube.
This is the third episode of season 2, written by Mark Seal. Last seen around these places, writing World's Wisebot Quest.
Mm-hmm.
That's one where you saw a mysterious guru who was just Blades.
I mean, fair.
Yeah, so Hotshot's wandering around. He finds Medics. He's in the med bay, and he's talking to himself. And Hotshot notes that Medics has been behaving strangely lately, which... Lately?
I mean, strange for him. Could be relative.
All the kids are a little strange, you know.
And he's like, hey, you know, Medics, we got a mission briefing. You got to go. You know, we're going to Cybertron. We're going to the space bridge. We're going to visit Ratchet's science lab.
Yay, Uncle Ratchet. I guess we're back in that, like, doctor in the Marvel Comics sense.
Yes.
Like, you've got a PhD in everything. You've got a PhD in every STEM field.
Yes.
I guess they didn't want to...
Like, that's any different from G1.
They didn't introduce a whole new character to have Wheeljack. It could be Uncle Wheeljack!
Ooh. Yeah. But no, apparently he is apparently even making, like, sporting goods.
But Uncle Wheeljack in this continuity is kind of a murder hobo.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't allow him around children.
No. Aligned Wheeljack is not... He should not be allowed around children. But also, I find it hard to believe that Aligned Wheeljack would have invented a sport.
Like rollerball,
well, it didn't
or...
involve swords.
Like one of those like deadly sports from the future?
I guess, maybe.
Death Race 2000.
He could have invented the Running Man.
Maybe, yeah.
Making like that electric suit for that opera singing fat guy.
Not so much Cube, though.
Or evil hockey gear for Professor Sub-Zero.
Man, that was fun. I did like the new Running Man movie a lot because it was extremely my aesthetic. But also, I did kind of miss the ridiculous pro-wrestler-esque hunter personalities.
Jillian, here is your Sub-Zero. Now, Flame Zero.
Hotshot, World Hoist, Medics, and Wedge. Let's see what together will give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy. Roll to the rescue. Roll, roll, roll.
And so Maddox is not so he's not so thrilled about going to see see old Uncle Ratchet. I don't know if he like owes money or he always makes him go through his record collection. But no, it turns out that he has been hiding something from everybody, and that something is Mr. Flappy.
Yes.
Oh, I have so many opinions. As someone whose Facebook feed has been curated to be almost entirely wildlife rescue organizations, I have so many opinions. I have so much to and say.
From what I understand, the rule about touching bats is don't never do it.
Just absolutely do not. Do not. Absolutely do not touch bats.
Generally, yes.
Certainly do not think you yourself are going to rehab them, but... as a start, don't touch them. They are a high-risk rabies vector species, and if you touch one and it breaks your skin, you need to prepare for a painful round of shots.
I've heard they're not as painful as they used to be.
I have also heard that, so
yeah, I think they've improved it, but yeah, it's...
Like, it's not as thick, and it doesn't need to go... I think it just goes into your arm instead of, like, your torso.
But they're also, like, expensive. So it will be a very expensive round of shots. And possibly they will have to kill the bat.
Yes.
Oh, they definitely have to kill the animal.
Yeah, I think they definitely have to kill
it. And they do to test it, but I don't know if if they quarantine it and you just get the shots to be safe.
As far as I know, the only successful way to test, unless they come up with a new one, is you have to cut the head off and dissect the brain.
Well, yes, but I'm just saying that if they don't have reason to believe that it is likely, they may just quarantine it, but you still want to go ahead and get the shots because that is deadly.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't try to rehab bats on your own. Don't try to rehab any kind of wildlife. It is illegal. You need to be licensed for that. It's not okay. You're not going to do it. That baby deer does not need to be drinking your oat milk.
Oh, God.
It's not going to work out.
Yeah. No.
But also, do not touch bats with your bare hands, which I realize they're Cybertronians, so they cannot get rabies.
Yeah, it's fine for the Cybertronians, but...
This is for children, where children might be in a house and see a bat that flies into their house, and they might think, oh, I watched on this cartoon where it was okay if you, like, rescue it yourself and try to nurse it back to health. No, do not do that.
No.
Yeah, that is... It is a weird choice of animal other than, oh, it can fly around.
I mean...
And, well, for as the episode goes on, there's a thing that it's convenient for. It's a fun episode, but the bat is a weird choice of things you want to encourage children. Oh, look, the robot on the TV did it. I want to do it, too.
It's a fun episode that really needed to have been researched for 5 minutes and then maybe reconsidered.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, have him invent... Have a robot bat that he's working on or something that... I don't know. There are other ways to do this. You need to research these things. It's very serious.
Or maybe it's just like that a bat gets into the rescue center and they have to catch it or get it out of there or something.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that happens with houses.
Mm-hmm. But you should not try to rehab wildlife on your own. It's not a good idea. Don't feed it. Don't give it water. Put it in a quiet box somewhere and contact your nearest rehab that is licensed for the kind of animal you're dealing with. That is my PSA. I guess there are no bears in this season, so I don't get to do my bear PSAs like I did in regular rescue bots. So now it's animal rescue PSAs.
Oh, well, thanks, Jen. Now we know.
Yes, now we know. And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe. Okay, but what about when I was trying to make some pork chop sandwiches on the stove?
You know...
And then my whole house caught.
I talk chops. About how I complain about the kids and their weird Dadaist, abstract, meaningless slang these days. But man, I will absolutely just be like, body massage. And it's the funniest thing ever.
Hey kid, I'm a computer.
And I was like in my early 20s when that was new. Like, I wasn't even like 8 years old going 6, 7. No, I was literally an adult, and I was like, body massage machine is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Give him the stick.
Don't give him the
Don't
stick!
Don't give him the stick!
Oh. Anyway.
Anyway, none of that actually happens. No. And thankfully nobody gets rabies, but apparently there is now a no pets policy on account of the time Hotshot attempted to borrow a rhinoceros.
From the zoo.
Yes, Mr. Smashy. Oh, okay, we skip over a line as like the kiddos go through the portal to Cybertron, and then Medics comes through, and then they're waiting for Heatwave to come through, and then a bat comes through, and then they're confused. Oh, Heatwave has turned into a bat. He's Nightscream now. And the line, why is Heatwave nuzzling Medics?
Oh, man, an episode where Heatwave somehow becomes a vampire?
Oh, no.
Oh, that would be dangerous.
Oh, no.
And somehow gets the ability to turn into a bat?
So he can't cross himself because he contains running water?
Oh man, they somehow like bless the water that's inside him and he explodes.
This is amazing. I'm going to take notes.
Wait, Jen, do vampires drink water or other fluids other than blood usually?
I never drink water.
Okay.
Yes, I never drink wine.
That is always the thing that slightly confuses me. It's like, okay, vampires, they need to drink blood, so yada yada. But most of the time, like, they're not eating anything else, which seems like a calorie problem. Admittedly, they're dead.
They're magic.
But, like,
it's magic.
It just seems weird, like, that they don't...
Sure, vampire bats just eat blood.
Yeah, but they're also teeny tiny little fucking things. Whereas most bats are insectivores or plant eaters.
In fact, I'm pretty sure there's a bit in, I think, What We Do in the Shadows, where vampires like try to eat like regular food and they violently regurgitate it.
Yes,
yeah,
they vomit
like
it up violently.
So they have to eat just blood.
Yes.
I mean, that's good for comedy, but like
they
for...
cannot like, eat other things.
To me, it always annoys me that like vampires like can't just like have a snack every once in a while. Just like as a treat.
Nope.
Like they don't need it.
I guess they're just eating, like, regular food in The Lost Boys, because they're just getting, like, Chinese food.
It's part of their eternal curse.
I mean, I guess, you know, vampires are just kind of like magic.
Yeah.
I mean, they're also turning into bats and mist and...
It's magic. It's magic
wolves,
stuff.
Wolves.
Well, it depends like on the type of vampire. That's always the thing. It's like there's so many flavors of vampire. Your movie must explain the rules and then break at least one of them.
Well, actually, I'm about to mention a different kind of vampire here. So, in a little bit. So, we go to Ratchet's lab, and indeed, Hotshot is immediately drawn to a cube, which turns out to be the first cube because Ratchet also invented sports, I guess.
Why would he do that?
I don't like that at all.
No.
Like it's just
maybe some other Ratchet. Maybe this is just another guy named Ratchet.
I think they specifically say it's Medic's uncle.
Yeah, but I mean that maybe Medic's uncle Ratchet is not aligned Ratchet.
Yeah.
Which is okay, other more fun Ratchet.
That is always a nitpick thing that I like about that I want to inject in Transformers. Two guys sharing the same name. Like that should happen every once in a while, but it doesn't in fiction anyway. But it should. Like, there's just two guys named Dirge. I didn't know about the other Dirge. It's not my fault he got more famous. It was my name first. Kind of shit.
Yes.
So anyway
the first two, and then they kick it, well, activate it, it bounces around. And
yeah, it ends up bouncing around, and then it promptly gets loose again, and he ends up, like, caught in a helmet.
Yes, it gets caught in a helmet that's got lasers on it, which is great. Let's give the bat a laser.
It made me think of one of those, like, Indonesian vampires that are, like, the heads flying around?
Oh, their heads and necks and intestines, depending.
Well, right, there's, like, viscera trailing around under them.
There's a few different versions, but yeah, I think it is the Indonesian one that's, like, yeah, got the intestines.
Right, the Manigal or something?
I forget. I've seen a vampire movie.
That sounds correct to me.
One of them in it, but yeah,
it definitely had me thinking Indonesian vampires. because his like wings are sort of sticking out the little holes in this thing.
Yeah, there's blood-sucking vampire-like things in so many cultures that have so many different rules. And well, I don't even think they're primarily bloodsuckers. Oh, were they like eat children out of pregnant women or something?
Ew.
There was one vampire thing that did that.
That sounds like a an effective excuse, and I support this.
There was something weird about that.
Yeah, I wasn't visiting the local witch. I was it was a vampire. That's why I'm not pregnant anymore. Yep.
I wonder if you could consider Kappa vampires.
The like,
since they suck your soul out of your butt, but
I feel like a soul is a different thing. Like that's a different kind of vampire.
Blood.
It's still going to kill you. It's similar.
I mean, lots of things can kill you.
So many
Japan
things.
Japan has to have some more vampire.
So many things can kill
vampire
you.
Vampire thing. But I don't remember if there was.
Anyway, it turns out the main thing that Ratchet wants to show them, very coincidentally,
as it turns out,
is that he's built a total sensory deprivation chamber. Because he's built echolocation goggles.
But it's also a danger room because it's full of hazardous shit.
Yes.
It's not just a dark room.
Why?
It's a literal danger room.
Like, this seems like you could just, if you want to test out your goggles, you could, like, there's a light switch, probably.
Yeah, this is a little less Ratchet and a little more Jigsaw. Like, he's about to use these things to get some guy to play a game.
That is more aligned Ratchet, so that's fair.
Somehow Jeffrey Combs never in a Saw movie.
What?
I mean, what would he do unless you're gonna kill him?
We don't want to kill him.
I mean, he does die in a bunch of horror movies.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
From Beyond,
Reanimator, technically, but not really, because there's a sequel. But he definitely dies at the end of that first.
And I also want the Frighteners. He definitely dies.
Mm-hmm.
Hilariously. Anyway, so yeah, it just so happens that this coincides with our whole bat thing here. So
the goggles have really cute little bat ears that are honestly kind of like cat ears. They have cute ears.
But unfortunately, the goggles, they do something. Because once they turn on, they freak this bat out. So he gets loose. He flies into the danger room. So now Hot Rod has to chase after them. But he doesn't have the goggles. So he's just going to get fricasseed by whatever the terrible dangers in this danger room are.
He's going to get dangered.
Yes. Instead...
The bat noises are the Scooby-Doo bat noises.
They are 100% Scooby-Doo bat noises.
Yes.
Which I don't think bats make a noise like that noise. It's not exactly a bat squeak.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I do not know bats. I know that there's a bit in that first Batman the Animated Series episode with Man-Bat, where he's got like a cassette tape that he's like... He's like brought to these bat experts to say, hey, what's the deal with this?
And they're like, that's weird.
Well, I mean, they think that it's just like regular bat noises. It's just really loud for some reason. You've got your tape recorder turned up too high. Because there's like the guy who's like the red herring sort of, where you think, oh, this guy's obviously crazy, so he's must be the man bat. But then it turns out it's the other guy.
Yes. And it's been a while since I've seen that. I should watch it.
The other guy voiced by the Beastmaster.
Yes.
Oh.
Mark Singer himself.
Speaking of movies with inappropriate animal noise dubbing, because ferrets, they do not make that much noise. Ferrets are not that noisy at all.
So Medics has to, you know, admit his unlicensed animal handling.
You're going to get in trouble. It's against the law.
It is.
I have perhaps done much research on this subject. What you are and are not allowed to have as pets.
Well, he does admit it after Heatwave goes, Bart, no! I mean, Hotshot, no! Sorry, force of habit.
And then he was like, yeah, maybe he's just like, let that bat free, like, before it gives all our...
Yeah, it's flying again. It's healed. It's fine.
And he's like, okay, I'll let him go. And also the rest of his, like, bat family.
His bat family that I brought here to keep him company so he wouldn't be lonely.
Cue the opening to Scooby-Doo. Where are you?
Also, I'd like to know why Hotshot got that tied up in so short a time. Because he was, like, super tied up in all those wires.
Yes.
He probably turned into a jet to try and get out.
Yeah, he probably did.
It reminds me of that scene in like, Suspiria, where that girl, like, ends up in that room that's full of barbed wire for some reason.
Oh, I love that movie, but there's so many things about that don't make sense. And that barbed wire room! Why do you have a room full of barbed wire?
Why not?
Well, you know, it is where we keep the concertina wire.
Yeah, you gotta put it somewhere. Maybe they don't have a shed.
But it's so weird. It's specifically barbed wire.
Listen, it makes a lot more sense when you've got, like, crazy Dario Argento cinematography and, like, blaring music from the band Goblin.
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Dario Argento movies. I've seen a handful, and that one's definitely the best.
Oh, it's definitely the best.
Phenomena is... it's okay.
I have a certain fondness for Phenomena.
Yeah, it's almost a remake, but not really.
It's like, what of Suspiria, but also a chimp?
Yeah.
You know, a chimp, because of reasons.
All right, well, that is the end of Medic's Steps of the Bat, but then we are getting to our next episode, and it turns out it also has a somewhat horror theme, because who are you going to call?
Ooh, Mr. Pettypaws!
Yes. I mean, he's kind of... I mean, Mr. Pettypaws is kind of shaped like the ghost in the Ghostbusters logo.
Yeah. Yeah, he's big and puffy and white.
Just picture him like strutting down the street, like that the real Ghostbusters opening.
Yes. Would it be on all 4 feet, or would it be on just his hind feet?
I think he'd be on like 2 feet.
It has to be on the hind legs. Yeah,
he's got to like really strut like that. That ghost is really half of the time of his life in that Ghostbusters opening.
Yeah, that's true.
Pettypaws has got to pull a Garfield for that.
Oh yeah. So this is the fourth episode of season two, first aired May 9th, 2020, written by Finn Boland. This is their second episode, previously seen writing Into the Depths, the one where there was they did, like, submarine stuff.
Yes, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. And this is Wild Ghost Chase.
Yes. Thing, I don't know if, like, Hasbro changed their things or just can't find the things on YouTube we were watching before. I haven't seen emojis on these episodes.
Oh.
Well, that, I'm pretty sure that was just a Cyberverse thing.
Mm. Oh, Cyberverse. Okay. That's what confused me. All right. That's why.
Okay.
I was like, wait a minute. Why aren't there emojis? All right. Because that's a different show. Sorry.
So yeah, apparently Whirl and Mr. Pettypaws are both waiting outside Chase's office to find out what their assignments are.
Yes. I mean, it's nice to have the celebrity Mr. Pettypaws here.
Yes.
Although probably likes Mr. Pettypaws the fourth or something. But why is he there? Or she there? Pettypaws gender.
And unfortunately, I don't know that Mrs. Niederlander appears in...
Well, he's Mr. Pettypaws, so, I mean...
No,
well, yes, but we have Miss Lion, who's a male dog.
I realize I did have a female cat named Garfield as a child, so I can't criticize there.
Like, the most famous dog in Marvel Comics, or Marvel Animation, is Miss and a male.
That's fair.
Or wait, was Miss Lion female in the cartoon? I know in the comics she's male. It's male.
I believe Miss Lion is a boy on the show as well.
Okay.
Although I'm not 100%. It has been a while since I've seen that show.
That's kind of weird and confusing for children.
Yes.
It is.
Anyway, so Whirl is, she's going in. And Chase has given her first assignment. And that is ghost busting.
Well, to determine if the ghost is real or not.
Yes. It's less ghost
busting. Which does not necessarily mean busting it.
Which is a shame, because busting makes her feel good. Boston.
Given the assignment, Whirl is guessing, like, oh, what she's there for, what job. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she guesses is there a wooden horse outside the compound?
Yes. And also, she thinks that she needs a partner. So, obviously, it's going to be, of course, Mr. Pennywise.
Yes. Clearly.
I mean, it should have been. Cats are good at hunting ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, she has to determine the existence of the Lady of Griffin Rock, who you remember from way back in the first Rescue Bots series.
Yes.
Yes. Callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Did we see her, or was she just mentioned? I can't remember.
We did, because it was a thing where... So there was a thing that was, like, making all the historical holograms go nuts.
Oh, it was that episode. Okay.
Right. And then...
I know we had ghost episodes. I was mostly just remembering, like, the ghost ship, which wasn't a ghost ship.
But notably in this one, they were like, oh, yeah, but the Lady Griffin Rock, she wasn't one of the holograms. Woo!
Spooky.
And actually, relevant to our earlier discussion, her name was Charlotte Wayne.
Oh.
Obviously, this is a relative of Thomas.
Clearly.
And later Bruce.
Oh, so this is Stately Wayne Manor that we see.
Stately Wayne Manor. So she's trying Hoist, and Hoist is doing an experiment, and Hotshot is...
A Rube Goldberg thing.
Yes.
Is too busy, so instead, Medics is available. So he is going to be the... I guess he's like the stance to her Spangler?
Yeah, that's fair.
Guess so.
I mean, Stance is like goofy, and
yeah,
Medics is sort of more straight laced, so he's more of the Spangler.
And he could also be the Zedmore.
Which one of them is more gullible?
He could also be the Zedmore.
No, I think if Wedge was on this group, he would.
Yeah,
be
I feel Zedmore. like Wedge or Hoist would be the Zedmore, and then I don't know. Hotshot is kind of the Venkman, but
yeah,
yes.
Stupider.
Hotshot yes. does have big Venkman energy.
So yeah, they're questioning all sorts of the Griffin Rock citizenry, and they're people who, you know, well, you know, I heard singing out of nowhere, but then when I turned my radio off, the singing was gone.
Oh yeah, that's Jerry again.
Your radio? Yes, that is Jerry. Of course, the worst trucker in Jerry on a rare break from not transporting explosive poison through the streets of Griffin Rock.
Well, the problem usually is in the streets. It's like when he goes out of town, up into the hills for some ungodly reason, like unless he's going to Doc Green's place. I don't know why he does that most of the time.
I can't believe it. Where is Jerry with my explosive poison?
He needs poison.
And there's another person who said, well, I saw a strange, eerie woman wandering the streets, and on second thought, it might have been my mother-in-law.
No, it was like her great-aunt Edna or something.
Right, right. So they, you know, they are equals. And of course, I guess the other duo they could be here is a real Mulder, and Medics is a real Scully.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair.
Speaking of which, I finally watched an episode of the new X-Files.
Oh, right, the one with Rhys Darby. That's a good one.
Yes, because... Another podcast I listen to, normally they do, like, Star Wars books, but every once in a while, they let the second host, like, take over, and this time it's an X-Files book, and they did a bonus content, which involved describing that episode, and then they get to the end of it, and the other guy's like, yeah, that was Rhys Darby in that episode. It's like, wait, what? So I have to watch the episode. I didn't. It was, like, for me, the platonically perfect X-Files episode, because it's a parody of a classic X-Files episode-style story, but it's a parody done by the X-Files people, so it's still a really good X-Files episode.
I haven't seen...
Also, written by Darren Morgan, who is the best X-Files writer.
Oh, good. Ah. I haven't seen any of the new ones.
Yeah, like, it's firing on all cylinders. It's. I recommend starting with that one.
I mean, he also did the one with the carnival people.
Oh, mm-hmm. That one was really good.
Or the one with the cockroaches.
Also good.
Ooh.
I'm trying to think. And it's interesting because he totally hates Mulder, but in a hilarious way.
Yes.
Oh yeah, because Mulder is so weird and
so mean to Mulder.
In the episode I just watched. But like, it's perfect. It's like all his little crazy ideas have been ruined by the internet and reality and everyone having cameras in their phones.
It does seem hard to be him now.
Yes.
Anyway, so they check the case files, and it turns out there's a spooky abandoned mansion with luckily robot-sized doors and everything.
Oh, I didn't even question that. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, they're small.
And they're kind of smallish robots.
They're small, but they're still like 8 or 9 feet tall.
And luckily she was very rich, so she had like huge doors.
Yeah, that was a thing. Like in Crimson Peak.
Yeah, we're doing some like basic cable ghost hunter stuff here. We're looking for cold spots.
I do feel Blades is probably a good source for ghost hunter reality show stuff. So he's probably
He's watched all of them.
Yeah, he may have made medics watch some by now since he's his mentor.
they keep hearing spooky noises and there's some weird scratches on the floor.
Dun dun dun.
Oh. Before they go into the mansion, like Whirl breaks out safety helmets for them to put on because it's an old mansion that might fall apart.
Oh, that's right. They're wearing hard hats.
Yes, but, like, Medics' head helmet design already is a hard hat. Like, so he's putting a helmet on that's shaped exactly like the rest of his head. I mean, that is repeatable, idea for children. Wear a hard hat before you go into a haunted house that's falling apart. Good idea. Wait, what? But there's so many paintings in there. Like, it's a ridiculous amount of creepy old lady and Victorian dress looking paintings.
That's what they did back then. They didn't have photos.
And sadly, none of them have, like, the eyes cut out so you can see, like, the eyes moving behind them.
That's a shame.
But yeah, you gotta look out of the jackalope.
It turns out there is indeed something behind the painting. And they move the painting, and it is a bunch of opossums.
Some possums! Yay, it's time for possums. They're so cute.
2 episodes in a row, 2 different animals at the opposite ends of the rabies spectrum.
Still,
possums not get rabies?
Possums cannot get rabies.
Their body temperature is too low.
Yeah. They're like one of the few things that cannot get
rabies. Oh, I mean, they're still, you know, horrific, shrieking vermin, but okay.
No, they're great.
They're surprisingly clean, horrific, shrieking venom. Like, opossums are weird. Like, there's one view where if you see them, they're so adorable, and then they open their mouth and they're nightmare creatures.
I love them. Also, you should still not be handling them barehanded or moving them on your own.
No, you can probably get other, like, horrible possum diseases.
Yes, also they have really sharp teeth.
Yes.
But it's not like rabies where, like,
you won't get rabies, they'll just tear your skin off.
Scratches you a little bit and you will die horribly in a month. Kids these days haven't seen Cujo when it shows.
I don't want to see Cujo.
Or Old Yeller.
Yeah, man, I grew up in the South. Do you know how much the adults in my life put that TV, that movie, on the TV cart? It was a lot. It was way too much.
No, I've seen that one episode of Zubat, where a dentist, infects a dog with super rabies, and then the dog bites a kid. And by the end of the episode, that's never cured.
Oh no, the episode super just rabies. Ends. That's pretty bad.
Yes, it's the worst episode of Zubat.
Oh, then there's that messed up episode of Scrubs.
I have not seen that.
Well, I haven't seen that many episodes of Scrubs.
Oh man, I don't know anybody who hasn't seen Scrubs. Turn the podcast off. But there's an episode where they do a bunch of organ donations from the same donor, and it turns out the donor had rabies, so they all die.
That sounds more like a House episode.
It's a messed up episode of Scrubs.
Jesus,
that's happened. Weird. I mean, not that, I mean, that it has happened in real life where somebody died and their organ got donated, but they had rabies and the person who received the organ also died. It was like last year.
Ew.
It's a problem.
Should have watched that episode of Scrubs.
Yeah. Mm. That's weird for an episode of Scrubs to be like that.
Yeah, I knew there were some episodes where people die, but like, that's a weird chain reaction of deaths.
It's definitely up on those like most tragic sitcom episodes. It's like that and the episode of News Radio where Phil Hartman dies.
Wow, what the hell, man? What the hell?
That was reality, anyway. Not that episode.
So, you know, this house is kind of messed up, and now they now have to rescue these possums from this crumbling house.
I mean, they could just leave them. They're fine.
I mean, yeah, they'll probably be fine once it starts to collapse.
You don't really need to rescue them from the house.
I mean, they'll probably be, and again, do not attempt to rescue animals in this fashion.
No. Once again, leave it to a licensed rehabber.
Hmm. I mean, you know, even domestic animals like cats and dogs, you got to be more careful handling them than this, even if you are a robot.
Yes.
Even if you're Astar, a robot from the planet Danger. Only Canadians will get that.
I half got that
one. They are
one.
Very cute possums, though.
I can picture it. I don't remember the title.
He was Astar. It was the War Amps, and he's like this very cool guy in a robot suit. Hmm. On like this planet of like whirling saw blades and bottomless pits. I was like, you know, I'm Astar, a robot. I can put my arm back on, but you can't.
Oh, so that was a commercial. Okay.
Don't jump into like giant razor blades.
I was confusing it with a different Canadian thing, yeah.
Anyway, so they have indeed rescued these possums, and the rest of the gang's watching the news, like, robot oafs destroy local mansion.
Oh, there's when they're getting all the three possums, there's when Medix says, "Come here, mama." Medic's voice actor has pet cats. I will bet money on it. Because I have said, "Come here, mama," in that exact tone to the outside cats.
That is the way you talk to animals.
Yeah.
The baby possums are very cute, and we get a nice little lesson on possums playing dead. So that's educational.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. There we do get the playing dead. I believe this omits the part where they release a foul-smelling liquid from their anus.
Yes. Yes, ew. They do.
Which is also another part of playing possum.
Yes.
You gotta smell dead smell to dead. Look dead.
It's important. It's an important function of it.
I mean, you gotta be careful, because there are lots of animals that will eat a corpse, but not a corpse that smells that funky.
Not a corpse that smells like there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, it smells like it's been dead too long.
Oof. No thanks. So, you know, Whirl has to admit that, you know, we did not, in fact, prove that ghosts exist or do not exist, but I guess it's very hard to prove a negative.
It is. Mm. It is hard. I had that thought. I was like, but you can't really prove a negative. But I guess the important thing is that Whirl has learned important lessons about investigation and also possums.
Yes.
And he knows how to play the piano, at least a few notes.
And then also Mr. Pettypaws chases these possums.
Which, thankfully, they made out of the haunted house without being devoured by a piano.
Yes. I was also thinking of that scene from House with the piano.
Oh.
Amusingly, he's playing Fur Elise.
Ooh.
Okay.
Which, I assume that's like a gag because possums have fur.
Guess.
Oh, I figured it was just because that's a well-known classical song.
Hmm. I mean, that's also that, but I also wonder if it's like fur.
Oh,
you know, well, animals have fur. I don't know.
German, so it's just fur, Elise.
Right.
But it's fur.
Hmm. And speaking of fur, they do indeed have Mr. Pettypaws who chases these these possums.
They just release them in the base.
Yes.
Just do that.
Yeah, well.
This is not how you handle wildlife.
Children, stop.
So they've had bats, possums, a cat, a rhino, who knows what else running loose.
A fish.
So much just random fur and poop and stuff in that base that they don't know anything about because they don't understand these things.
Oh, Minix's room is covered in guano.
Yes.
I mean, he's going to use it to make gunpowder, like in a Decepticon raider in King Arthur's court.
Such a good episode.
All right, and that is the end of the episode. So an amusing pair of episodes this time. They're really teaching kids some bad lessons about wildlife handling, though.
Yeah, I have reservations about that. But on the other hand, the rest of it is good.
Yeah.
The rest of it was fun.
Yeah. I have a question, which is completely unrelated to anything.
Is it related to animal rescue?
No, it's because of a song I heard from the Smiths again.
Oh, no.
So, Jen, why does Morrissey want to lynch a DJ?
Just because. Probably played some shitty music, man. I don't know.
That's just such...
Maybe you saw him eating a ham sandwich or something.
Maybe.
Such a catchy song. Meat is murder. But, like, it ends on hang the DJ, hang the DJ, hang the DJ, hang the DJ yes. over for, like, a minute.
Because he's playing bad music.
Is that the point of the song?
I believe so, as I recall.
Okay. Heaven knows he's miserable now.
Yes.
So many Morrissey songs are just so weird. I am confused how he is as popular as he is, other than the band sounds great that's backing him. Anyway, yeah, back to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
These are two fun episodes which involved animals and Scooby-Doo like shenanigans.
Yeah.
Yes. Alright, and of course, until we will be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action. But until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Blue Sky, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
We are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to our monthly fun special one-off episodes that we do about whatever random thing we feel like doing an episode about. We're thinking if we can find the time for March, we're actually going to go ahead and tackle Superman, which, as in the recent Superman movie, not any of the several previous movies or the animated series or previous animated series or the live action series or the serials. But no, we are talking about the 2025 Superman movie. So, hopefully we will find time to do that. If not, I don't know. We've always got a bit of a to-do list.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you can also get access to previous episodes, such as the February episode, where we watched a rare good episode of a Marvel show. And we watched a certain fellow named Simon Williams turned into ionic energy in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor was horrified by the concept of MODOK, which, honestly, fair.
Yes. And also, once again, we saw our old friend Lance Henriksen with a metal implement for a hand.
Yes!
Yeah.
Frank Black himself. Man, more things need Lance Henriksen in them.
It's true. All right, so until next time, when we encounter Robo Cody, and then get a little dramatic. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.